Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Babes of Wonderland. I'm one of your hosts, Ashley Hay.
And I'm your other host, Laurel Deneen.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yes.
If you're listening to Babes of Wonderland for the first time, what we do is on each episode, we'll take a different Disney film, and then we'll talk about the history of that film before maybe correlating some of the themes to other properties or social issues, maybe talking about it in relation to pop culture.
Yep.
This week, we are discussing Beauty and the Beast. Timely, because it's just had its anniversary. The new release of the Blu-ray DVD pack is out.
Yep.
Which we will be giving away for this episode, so I hope you guys entered that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm a little bit jealous because I bought it back in the day.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I can't buy it again. But there's four versions of the film on this one.
Okay, I feel like you can buy it again.
I might have to buy it again. But my husband might be like, what?
But what? But it's Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, it's such a great one.
It is. So this was released in 1991.
It doesn't seem that long ago.
It makes me feel so old.
I'm so aged.
God.
Yes.
Because this was my jam. Directed by Gary Trounsdale and Kirk Weiss. This was originally supposed to be adapted into an animated film around the 1930s and 50s, kind of when they were doing the Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. But they found that the story was a little too challenging for whatever reason at that time. They just couldn't really...
There's a lot of source material to go through, we'll talk about in a few minutes,
yep.
But there is a big challenge, and I think it was great that they kind of waited for this one, because Belle is really the first princess that you take seriously.
Yes.
As far as, like, she is of her own mind, she's not looking for a husband.
Nope.
You know, she's not after a guy.
Right.
She's just kind of there, and she's put into a situation, and she's a very strong character, which I think led the way for other strong characters like Pocahontas and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think of... I mean, one of the very first lines that she tells Gaston, who's the epitome of this just bro.
Yeah.
Who thinks the world revolves around him. And, you know, as this attractive, well-to-do white male, the world has, you know, revolved around him for probably most of his life. But, you know, one of my favorite lines that I got even as a young child was, "You're positively primeval."
Mm-hmm.
And you're like,
"Ooh." She's smart. She burns him without him even knowing it.
Yeah.
And I think that making him a hunter was such a smart choice because really what he's trying to do is make Belle into his ultimate trophy.
Yep.
So it's really interesting to see his personality really shine through as a villain, and you kind of understand him in a way that you don't, like Maleficent or something like that, who just doesn't really have a lot of motivation.
No.
His motivation is pure selfishness and like wanting to show off, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that kind of correlation.
And he gets what he wants. He's always gotten what he wants.
And this is kind of the first instance of the handsome male that you would assume would be the prince type character being the villain, which you see come back in like Frozen and stuff like that.
Right. But the thing is he's... Everybody loves him as a villain because
he's a great villain.
Because he's funny, but he's not trying to be funny.
Oh, no.
You know?
No,
it's not like Ursula where she's kind of like sassy and
he's so entirely not self-aware. Yeah.
He's so not self-aware. I just always remember his butt chin.
Yep.
In his, when he rips off his shirt and all of his hair.
All his chest hair. It's like, you don't see that every day in a cartoon.
Nope. Yep. It's pretty great.
It is a great one.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm glad that they waited about was the music. So originally, when they were talking about doing it, you know, in these later years and the resurgence of all these, you know, musicals, Jeffrey Katzenberg said this has to be a musical. Because originally they weren't going to do a musical. They were just going to do a straight animated film.
Which could have been really dark when you take this story and the source material that is out there for them to develop this from. It could have easily been a little bit dark, a little bit more Black Cauldron maybe.
And kind of, right. And I wonder if they're going to do that with the live action that's coming out. Because, you know, Cinderella live action and Maleficent didn't have a lot of music.
It was not musical. Yeah, I really am looking forward to that. The cast is great. Kevin Kline is Lumiere. I'm really looking forward to. Emma Watson is Hermione, so she can do whatever she wants, pretty much.
She can do no wrong.
Yeah. And the guy, I can't remember who was playing, the name of the guy who's playing Beast, so sorry, listeners, but the guy from Downton Abbey that's playing Beast is kind of exciting, too.
Oh, I've never seen that show, so.
So, not as excited for Ashley, but I enjoy it.
Well, I mean, I've heard great things, so I'm assuming.
And Luke Evans as Gaston is going to be funny.
Oh,
and Josh Gad will make the perfect LeFou.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I can't even imagine like how great he's going to be. He's going to outshine probably everybody in this film.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly looking forward to that too.
Yeah, the music, the Be Our Guest song and Gaston's, you know, My What a Guy Gaston and you know, even the Tale as Old as Time's song
that
by
was huge when it came out.
Yeah, Lansbury, like holy crap.
Yeah, and I even love the song that they put back in the later version that they released on DVD, To Be Human Again.
Yes.
Which they did in the Broadway play, and as you found out, this is the first Disney movie to be made into a Broadway musical.
It was.
That's surprising.
I thought it was Lion King, for sure.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. I mean, I guess Lion King did come later in the films, but it is kind of interesting that that was the first Broadway play. And it did have some great music when you look back on that.
Yeah.
Iconic songs.
Even the scene when they're outside in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
When they're just, you know, kind of seeing it. I thought I saw.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Like, they're seeing different elements of their personalities.
Yeah, and all the birds are on him.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't anybody done that? Why hasn't anybody just done Beast with all the birds on him as
a
costume?
That would be a great cosplay.
Someone please do that.
But yeah, I really like that song because it really shows that what their relationship is developing into is maybe not Stockholm Syndrome.
Right.
Because I think that's what a lot of people say when they try to say, I don't like being the Beast because it's an example of Stockholm Syndrome and this beautiful girl falling in love with the Beast. I'm like, no, I think that if you really watch the film, it really does develop.
Right.
But I can see where you're saying if you were looking at those older tales.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first version of the Beauty and the Beast tale was written in like, 1740.
Whew.
And it was a French fairy tale. And basically, it was trying to make arranged marriages more palatable to young women.
Oh.
Like saying, you may marry this old guy who looks disgusting, but you're going to find out he's a prince once he starts taking care of you and all this stuff. It was finally developed into kind of the version we know now, not that much later in 1756, by Jean-Marie Le Prince de Beaumont. And he's kind of done a lot of fairy tales. If you are a fan of fairy tales like me, there's a lot of anthologies that he has out. And he kind of took that kind of grotesque reasoning, and it was a really complicated story in the original. Like, there was, like, intrigue and like a lot of complicated themes that didn't make a lot of sense in the end. And kind of simplified it down into this story that we know now of just the father coming, and it happens a little differently. Like, they have a ship and it goes, like, it was coming into with the goods that were supposed to be their moneymaker. It ended up being a useless ship.
Right.
He's bringing home a gift for each of his daughters. He has three daughters, and all Belle wants is the rose.
Sure.
So he takes shelter just like in the movie in the castle. Picks a rose. The Beast is like, bring me back your daughter in exchange. It's a little bit more medieval still.
It's not a very fair
written
trade.
In 1740. So still.
Again, 1740.
Still a little bit behind the times. But yeah, there's definitely ways that you could read into those original tales and be like, Stockholm Syndrome for sure.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And this idea that, you know, as a kid, even thinking that this human could fall in love with this beast is a little,
Yeah, they really have to develop that so that kids aren't like, but he's a animal, you know?
Isn't that bestiality? No. You don't know what that is,
pun intended.
Right? But you do, it's one of those stories that you can tell that time passes and not
they
two
do the seasons,
damn days.
And, yeah.
Like the Little Mermaid.
Oh,
where
we really need to do the Little Mermaid soon because we talk about it all the time as an example of what not to do.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll definitely cover that soon. But, yeah, it's definitely like you really see the flow of time. You see her kind of slowly come out of her room more.
Yep.
You see giving her the library, extending that olive branch.
Right.
You know,
learning more about her, trying
exactly.
to get her interest, where I think if it was truly Stockholm, it would just be, over time, she'd just be adapting to it, and he wouldn't really be trying. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if enough.
I think so.
Is that how it is? Yeah. I don't know if enough.
Basically, he would be kind of like other characters that we could talk about, like Joker and Harley Quinn, which is like probably the best example I can think of, is that you're kind of abused and broken down.
Manipulated
emotionally until you think, I'm in love with this person.
Okay.
It's kind of like an abusive relationship.
Sure.
You're just within this, you know, relationship, and there's nothing outside of that. You're isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, this is normal.
Right.
Like, originally, your mind just is like, okay, that this is less bad than what he was doing earlier, so now he's trying to be kind to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay. Different. Thank you for clarifying. Because I don't want to get twisted in my facts of mental illnesses. But, you know, speaking of Joker and Harley, we're talking like comics, Joker mm-hmm. and Harley, not Suicide Squad, Joker and Harley. Get out the of movie. My face. Get yeah. out of my face with that. Yeah, no, the movie, the mm-hmm. comics, Joker and Harley, still Suicide crazy. Squad. Yeah, yeah. Still, it's still never a healthy relationship. That's probably the, like you said, the best example of that type of relationship. Unless, you know, one of the listeners that's really has prevalent a really good and, example.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best. I think that's it's the so best popular. One that's so prevalent. Yeah, in pop culture right now, especially. Yeah,
people are so into it. Joker and Harley Quinn.
They're like, oh, they're the couple. They're. I'm like, no, it's not like that.
Like that's not relationship goals.
She was. Yeah, exactly. Definitely not. This Halloween, when you see every Joker and Harley Quinn out there, remember that this is not a relationship you want to emulate.
No.
She was a psychologist who fell in love with one of her patients, and then he ruthlessly tortured her. And put her in a vat of acid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turned into Harley Quinn and went crazy.
Yeah.
So while she can be bubbly and funny, it's not a healthy relationship.
No. That's why in the new comics are great, because now it's her and Poison Ivy are together.
The Gotham City Sirens.
So good.
Is so great.
So it's great.
Her Catwoman and Ivy just kind of supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And they deal with that relationship and how it's not healthy.
Right.
And how they she needs to it. Stop.
Yeah. Both Selena and Pamela. To tell her just, you know, it's don't ever, you can't go back to him. He's not healthy. And
mm-hmm.
and how that support system is so important to
yeah.
Harley. But
it's a comic that really explores taking a damaged character and making her strong.
Yeah.
And building her back up, which you don't see a lot.
No.
And that's a great message you can take from that.
Yeah.
Is being totally. Harley Quinn post Joker.
Right. Yeah, you can. But, for sure.
Yeah.
And the thing that I always liked about Belle was that she felt like us. And
yes.
By us, I mean kind of nerdy, was into books, into things that people didn't necessarily get. And she was kind of an outsider, but not in a bad way. Nobody was mean to her.
But she was also still really strong.
Like,
exactly. She understood that people didn't look at her quite the same.
Right.
But she was like, that's fine.
Yeah, she was still kind, like, and they were still kind back to her.
Exactly. And I have my father.
Yeah.
And they can say what they want about him, but I think he's a genius.
Right.
And I'm going to stand by him, and I'll do whatever I can for my father. I will rescue him from this dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, she's a strong character while being a normal person.
Yep. Exactly. Like, she doesn't have any great abilities.
Mm-mm.
She can't. I mean, she can sing really well, but she, you know, she can't. She doesn't have superpowers. She's just
yeah.
a person who learns.
She's not
to
rich. She doesn't.
Cope.
Things don't come to her easily. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And when I was looking up information about this, you know that snow scene where she's got like that pink cloak jacket mm-hmm. on. The creator said that was one of their favorite outfits of her, and one of their favorite scenes is her kind of asserting her dominance over Beast when he helps save her after the wolves, and then she's bandaging him,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, he kind of gets snoots like rawr, and then she's yeah. like, it would hurt if you'd stop moving. Like,
yeah,
she just gets so
like, stop being a baby
yeah.
and let me help you.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of when you start to see that relationship, because he knows she's not a pushover.
Yep.
And while he had to help her, she is saving him.
And I think at first, he just thought, here's a woman in the castle. I need to fall in love so that I can help myself.
Yep.
And get out of this curse.
Mm-hmm.
But then he does realize that she's a real person with a personality that's strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have to work.
Yep.
And I think that that's great.
Yeah. And it is ultimately why he lets her leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he sacrifices the curse. You know, I'll be a beast forever, but I have to let her go.
Yeah.
I have to let her.
Like, I actually care for her, and her father is ill, and if she wants to go, I need to let her go. I can't hold her prisoner.
Exactly.
And I think that the way that they develop this relationship is not only more realistic than a lot of them that had come before, because there are a lot of hard times in
it. Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of questioning of each other and needing to find out information about each other to actually start to develop feelings.
Right.
But it's also, I mean, besides the Beast part and him turning back into a man, it's just a realistic interpretation of what a relationship can actually be like and what it maybe should be like about mutual respect.
Yep.
It's a great message for little girls who are growing up to want healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And unlike Little Mermaid.
So much shade throwing at Little Mermaid right
we
now.
We love Disney. We hate Little Mermaid.
I mean, you still listen to the episode because it'll be great. But
it will be great. Well, there's great music in that movie. That's
the music. I mean,
character design.
Let's not get
anyways,
into it.
Anyways.
So another thing as we were thinking about this when, you know, you were talking about the Joker and the Harley thing, that the Beauty and the Beast trope, I feel, is used a lot. And I don't...
And not always correctly.
And not always correctly. And I think that it can be damaging as well. You know, you have this... The girl has to be beautiful, and the guy can kind of just be meh.
Uh-huh.
He's got... But to me, I think that the stories that do it well are, while he still can be beast-like, and whether that's in terms of...
His looks or personality.
He still has to have other redeeming qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And examples of that, I think, would be Edward Scissorhands and Kim.
Mm-hmm. Winona Ryder.
Yep. Winona Ryder's character.
Mm-hmm.
How... At first, she is very standoffish with him, and over time, living and seeing how kind and just gentle he is, they fall for each other.
Yeah.
Another example is Buffy and Angel/Spike. Yeah. She has a relationship with both, right? Like, you know, Angel is like her one true love.
Duh.
But then he runs away because he's kind of, he can't deal with it, and I get it. Mm-hmm. They can't deal. That would suck. Isn't it that like, if they have sex, he, like, turns into, like, a crazy vampire or something?
Because they're true loves and they're perfectly happy. Blah, 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 blah. There's a part in Buffy where I just, at a certain point, where I just stopped watching.
Was it that it's point? Like,
it was close to that point. Yeah. It was close to the beginning of the Angel series.
Yeah. Well, but I think it's a good trope, though, right? She's a vampire slayer, and he's a vampire, and while he has his bad past, he's trying to make up for that. He's trying to be better, and she sees that. It's like, he is a monster. He legit eats people.
Yeah.
But he's working on it.
Yeah, he's working it out, guys.
Right.
Yeah, I think another one of my favorites that is kind of similar in that kind of classic fairy tale world is East of the Sun, West of the Moon, where the prince is a polar bear.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, totally.
It's so great. And then she has to, at some point, I won't give away the whole story, but at some point something happens and he's taken away to marry a troll, and she has to go on an adventure to save him.
Oh.
And I think that it was really great because he saves her first and then she has to go save him.
Right.
So there's this kind of proving of both being equals. I wish that was a Disney movie that they could kind of tackle.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun to watch that kind of come together.
That's kind of how Beauty and the Beast is.
Mm-hmm.
They do save each other. But remember in Tangled when she says, I have to save you, and then he says, you already did?
Mm-hmm.
Who got the vapors? Because that's essentially what it is. You're saving each other.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to be the damsel in distress.
It's a partnership.
Yeah.
I think that's the important thing for that Disney is trying to stress now.
Yes.
And that... should be stressed for all little kids is that
no
one saves the other without both being on that page, like both being able to provide that for each other, whether that's emotionally, physically. I think most of the time it takes the form of emotions when you're in an actual adult relationship.
Right.
Not a lot of us are in peril a lot.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely a message in Beauty and the Beast, and I think that's what made Beauty and the Beast such a hit.
Oh, absolutely. It won a ton of awards.
These characters were so developed.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline was so, I won't want to say feminist because that turns a lot of people off, but.
And we're pretty feminist show if you don't ever.
Yeah, in case you haven't noticed yet. But it really was kind of ahead of its time as far as gender roles in those animated movies for children.
Absolutely.
And it took it seriously.
Mm-hmm. And all the side characters.
Oh, they're so great.
They're so good. From the, you know, the armoire lady.
She was great.
She's so good.
She's so memorable. And she has, one line.
Yeah. She has one line, and then she, runs.
And then she runs at the people storming the castle.
Yeah. So everybody is developed. And
Cogsworth and Lumiere are two of the main characters.
Yeah.
They're a candlestick and a clock, and they made them so human and have such easily understood personalities while still being a little bit complex that they didn't overshadow the main characters, but they lent so much to the story.
Right. And if y'all didn't want a Be My Guest dinner to be ever served to you, then you're lying. Because how would you not want dancing cups and diving spoons into champagne? Don't talk to me. If you never wanted
it. It's such an iconic scene.
It is.
And I think one of my favorite parts of Disney World right now is their new Be Our Guest restaurant.
Yes.
Not to plug Disney, even though that's all we do on this show. you need to go to Disney World because we love it. But they have the rooms of the ballroom and the West Wing. And it's just so cute. And they have, it's just the closest you're going to come in real life.
Right.
Can
we go there?
Please.
Okay. We will make it a date. And then there's, I don't think that are as great as examples, but it's an early example, which is King Kong and Anne.
Yeah, I think I saw that movie once.
Okay, so
that's all you.
So King Kong, right, is the story of this ape who captures this female.
Mm-hmm.
And he has her over time, he's enamored with her, and she kind of sees his softer side, right? Mm-hmm. He's just this lonely creature that's huge and old, and all these people are trying to capture him and make him
scary.
Yeah, because he's something they've never seen before, right? Mm-hmm. They've never seen an ape this big.
Yeah.
Gorilla. And so they form this bond, and it's super unrealistic, as with most fairy tales, even with Beauty and the Beast, but I thought the remake of it was a better light of that. The early original King Kong was definitely, you lost some of that. That was definitely more her just surviving the beast. But one of the greatest lines in the remake that Peter Jackson did at the end, spoilers, King Kong is killed. It's actually really sad. Jack Black says Beauty killed the beast. Because it's true. He was so enamored with the beauty, and instead of it being this companionship, it was just, he was almost kind of precious, I have to keep
him
precious.
He was a little golem
well, Peter Jackson, come on. But that's where I'm glad that they didn't go, because they could have gone that way in Beauty and the Beast. And we've said a bunch of times already, it's such a good balance.
This the film, two definitely
the development is there.
And if you were doing it back in the 30s or 50s when they originally were trying to develop it, it would have easily gone the way of Damsel in Distress.
It would have been very Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, really just not the marker it was. I feel like this was a real turning point in Disney's evolution as far as their storytelling abilities.
Because this came after Little Mermaid. The reason they made it was a musical was because Little Mermaid was such a success.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the little kids liked the music.
Yep.
So they rushed it. Usually, at that time, it was taking about 4 years to make a movie. They pushed this to only be 2 years in, production. And it paid off. They got Oscars and all these awards, nominations, and people loved it. It's one of those movies that my mom and I used to watch all the time. It's one of the reasons I've done a couple takes of Belle, because it's one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah, it's easily.
Yeah.
Easily. It has so much to offer kids, and especially at that time, we just didn't have a lot of heroines.
No.
They just weren't around. And after this, you get Jasmine, who's very independent, has a tiger, she's kind of BA.
Yeah, yeah.
And, just going from there, you get tons of characters that are female and stronger than they ever were before in Disney's history. So I think that this is a really important film for them.
Absolutely. I loved it so much that I have a picture of me wearing a Belle costume for Halloween. It was probably one of the most expensive costumes my parents... I was a witch almost every year because witches rule. But one year, after Belle Beauty and the Beast came out, there was the yellow gown
mm-hmm.
that you could order. And it was expensive, but...
Yeah, I remember that.
But I wanted it so bad, and I did a bunch of chores, and my mom was, sure, all right, you mm-hmm. know. And so I have a picture of that next to my modern-day bells, which are not the dress, but they're a take
on it. They're
so cool.
I love your superhero bell. Thanks. If you haven't checked that out, we'll put it on our... Instagram, it's great.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, it's pretty good.
It's pretty awesome. I love it. I especially love, it's kind of, you're like being a Thor type superhero, yep. so your weapon is like Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And it's just books.
It's a book mount.
It's really cool. I loved that. It was so creative.
I'm going to break you down with some knowledge.
Please tell me you went around saying that.
I did say that a few times. Some be like, oh, I like your book mallet. I go, do you need some knowledge knocked into you? And then, of course, at, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, people be like, yes.
Yes, I do. What?
Come back. Can we get a photo of it? Yes, we can. And there was another scene that I learned about that, you know, at the end when Belle and Adam mm-hmm. are dancing. And then my brother's name is Adam, so there's a whole other reason that I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But Belle and Adam are dancing, and you notice that none of the background people are moving? That was because they rushed it, and they didn't have time to animate all those people. Yep.
Just watch them, people.
Yeah, just...
This is their dance.
Yeah. You just stand like statues because that's all you're here for.
Yeah.
It's really Belle and Adam's day. Mm-hmm. Okay. But don't you remember, I was always kind of a little scared at the end with the, basically the, with a whole bunch of people coming in, like a, that crowd of people with the pitchforks and the.
Yeah,
like
when they're raiding the castle.
Yeah.
They want to kill the beast. The Kill the Beast song is intense.
Kill the Beast song is,
it's great, good. But it's so intense.
It's super intense.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, I mean, that's also one of the most memorable villain fights
mm-hmm.
is on the roof with Beast.
Yeah,
it's scary.
It
like
is
even
scary.
Beast can get scary when he's, you know, posing as the gargoyle and he comes out of the shadows.
He's very Batman like though.
Yeah, very Batman like. He's a Dark Knight.
He is a Dark Knight.
I think that was really a smart choice, kind of playing with shadows and watching your character, a good character, come out of this and be like, he has two sides. He's a person.
He is a person. I mean, there's a reason he was turned into a beast in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He was kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm. We can't do this movie and not talk about the stained glass windows.
Oh,
that are so iconic.
I was just going to say it. I'm so glad you did.
I mean, you just see a panel of that and you know exactly what you're looking at.
Yep.
You know, it's...
No other movie has used that.
No, and I think it's because if they did, everybody would be like, you're knocking out Beauty and the Beast, because it's such a part of the movie.
Right.
Even though it was just the beginning. It's like they used the stained glass windows instead of the storybook that they usually did, which is really a brilliant idea, kind of bringing that into the future and making it not so monotonous, and that the opening to every film with this fairy tale is the same.
Especially with the castle, if you think about it, it would make sense. His castle would have stained glass. A French castle? Yeah.
Yeah, better.
Better. Oh, you're not French in castle enough, okay?
I think one of my favorite parts was also, especially as a kid, was the transformation scene.
Oh.
So not only Beast transformation, which was really interesting, though I always found it weird how the light shot out of his toes. I always thought that was a weird scene.
That was weird.
It was fun, but it was kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess that would need to happen.
There you go, sure.
Yeah. But then, like, the castle going from the dark gargoyles to, like, the cherubs and stuff. I was like, they would still be gargoyles, but it's cute and it shows a lot of story.
Yeah, you go, okay. I mean,
the curse
is
lifted. I get it. Yeah.
I mean,
but I always
thought
that was really fun as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, real talk though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Prince Adam as Prince Adam better or as the Beast? Like, looks wise.
That's cold.
Whoo, coming in hot.
I don't know, because by the end you get so used to the look of the Beast.
Yep.
And I think there's a reason that all the toys are the Beast and not Adam.
Yep.
Because that's the iconic version of the Beast. I think that they did a really good job with Adam. I think he's probably one of the most handsome princes that they created. But he's only in there for, like, what, 3 minutes tops?
Yeah, he's not in.
So it's hard to be like, I don't know, like, if we're talking in real life, then I have to say Adam. Because otherwise I'm being chased by a scary monster.
Sure.
But yeah, I think the Beast is so iconic. I love the way that they just combined a bunch of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did it was so smart. I loved his feet, like the way they come up, like the wolves.
Yep.
Really,
he was
smart choices.
He was a mix between a lot of creatures, but still remained his own. And I had the Barbie.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
But you couldn't take off his head. He was just the Beast, and he wasn't Adam underneath, though, right?
I had a different Barbie. I had an Adam Barbie that,
he could be human or Beast?
He didn't. I had, it was a separate Beast one. So, you had the outfit for both of them.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I wonder if I had that. I'm just not remembering it correctly. But I probably always just kept the Beast suit on him.
Yeah.
Because you were saying it. That's what you get used to. Mm-hmm. So that's what you want to see.
Exactly. That's who he is in the film.
That's for who
the
you majority fall in love of the with film. In the film, too.
Exactly.
I pet you.
He
pet your head.
Yeah.
Comb your hair. Put little bows in it.
The bathtub scene.
Oh.
I saw someone with a tattoo of him in the bathtub with the bows. I was like, that is genius.
My companion drew that for me because she drew me a bell.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So then she drew him with all the bows. That's actually a great tattoo idea.
It is. It was a great tattoo.
Was he a really burly man who had it tattooed, or was it a girl?
I think it was a girl.
Damn it. I want a really burly, lumberjack man to have that tattooed on. Like his bicep.
Get it on Cole in his sleep.
Yeah, right.
No, there are so many great scenes that we could talk about all day.
Yeah.
There's just so many little bits that as you talk about it, you remember, you remember this part? This part was great, too.
Yep.
And, I remember really liking the dog that's the footstool when I was a kid.
That dog would be so old, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no one aged. Chip is 100.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Nobody aged. And the curse changes the dog into a footstool.
Yeah.
It was an equal opportunity curse. Changed everybody and everything.
I also love that all the cups are kids, but Chip's the only one that matters.
And Mrs. Teapot is...
Mrs. Pods, yeah.
She's like a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a mom. It's Angela Lansbury. She's old. She's been old since we were kids.
Murder, She Wrote.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Every day after school with my mom.
Much respect to Lansbury. For multiple reasons.
Yes, for many reasons.
Okay. How many Mickey heads?
4.5.
Woo!
Easy.
Yeah. That's a good rating. I'd figured you'd be four and above.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go 5.
That's legit.
Yeah.
I had trouble not. I've there's certain ones that I enjoy more.
Right.
But barely any. So 4.5 for me.
But barely. Yeah. Of
the classic, of our generation coming up, of our childhood, this is the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have the soundtrack, just the instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
That if I just want to listen to something, pop it in.
Yeah. It's great.
Beautiful.
Every part of this film is beautiful.
It's whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dark, too.
And that's great. Dark. Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Because, even as a kid, I wasn't scared to watch it.
No.
I don't know how they did that, because they did that great balance of dark and light.
Yep.
But you weren't scared as a kid. For some Disney movies, it was this is a bit intense. Even Snow White got intense if you were, really small.
Yeah. I told you I was terrified of Maleficent.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was quite a few times in Disney movies early on that I was a bit hesitant to watch, or I'd cover my eyes.
I remember going on the Snow White ride at Disney World.
Oh no!
When I was a child and being scared, and that they later had to change it because it scared so many children.
I was hoping that they had to change it just for you, though.
Just for me.
It's just for you.
I held that much power at you Disney do. World. Facts you didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
If that was true, I would already have a Wreck-It Ralph ride at Disney. Ooh. I want to be in Sugar Rush so bad.
I want to be in you, Sugar Rush.
Exactly. I will just go on this ride all day. See you later, family.
Yeah. Where's Laurel? She's
in Sugar Rush.
She's in Sugar Rush. We
she's
don't
on like 8 hours
it.
Now.
I don't know how she's not dead. She hasn't eaten in 12 hours.
Who needs food? I'm in Sugar Rush. It's made of candy.
You're just like, just shoot the candy in my mouth.
We should just design their rides for them
at this point. Yeah. They should hire us. If anybody at Disney's looking to hire, we have no experience.
We'll be your idea women.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It'll be great. Speaking of treats and sweet things.
Yep. For this episode, I'm going to be making some strawberry roses. So look at the how-to. It's pretty simple and it looks pretty delicious. So check it out. Also, always go to babesofwonderland.com. That's our blog. That's where we'll keep our articles, crafts, treats, anything that we do.
Disney bound. Interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We also have links to all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can always use the hashtag Wonder Babes.
Yep.
If you want to
contact us.
Yep. Let us know. Let us know what you want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ask periodically on the social interwebs, but you know, if you want to message us, send us a note. We're always open to
hearing
your...
We want to know what you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
And we will announce the winner of the Blu-ray DVD pack next episode.
Yes, we will. Good luck to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, as always, to Fancy Pants Gangsters for having us on their network.
For sure.
You should always check out the other podcasts that they have. It's a really great network. They have a lot of different things. Music, food review, radio, dramas. Pretty cool stuff. And subscribe to our show.
Definitely.
It makes
it easy. If you want to hear more, we'd like to know that you're listening. The easiest way to get us, when it comes out, is to subscribe.
Yep. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker. Or just go to our website and Fancy Pants. We'll have subscribe buttons, all that pertinent information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Until next time.
Be our guest. Damn it. That doesn't work.